On November 1st, our Holy Father is going to proclaim a doctor of the Church, St. John Henry Newman, who was the 19th century Anglican clergyman and theologian who converted to the Catholic faith. And he is a prolific writer on the theology of the faith and the understanding of the faith, producing over 21,000 letters, 40 books, so I think 6 novels. And what's interesting about John Henry Newman's life is his story of his conversion. Well, in the Anglican Church, he had a hard time beginning to accept that the Anglican Church was the church that Christ founded. So he began to return to a study of the fathers of the church and began this pursuit of what he calls the truth. And that became sort of the basis of his writings throughout the course of his life. When he finally discovered that the church that Christ founded was the Catholic Church, he was able to make the transition. He was eventually received into the church. He was ordained a Catholic priest and then elevated to cardinal years later. But his conversion produced quite a stir because his family disowned him. He lost many of his friends. He taught at Oxford. Many of his colleagues at Oxford said, you should no longer teach here. And so he suffered for the conversion, the choice that he made to enter into the church. But he couldn't help but obey what Christ had revealed to him, what God had spoken, and especially in the truth of the foundation of the church. But his conversion, despite the great suffering he endured with it, resulted in the conversion of many others. And so many of his Oxford fellows and many of the English authors that we know today eventually converted to the Catholic faith. One of them that we're probably familiar with is J.R.R. Tolkien. So if you are a lover of The Lord of the Rings and its series, J.R.R. Tolkien attributes his conversion to the faith to St. John Henry Newman. But the readings of the scriptures this morning speak to us about that obedience of faith, and that when we obey the Lord in faith, then his blessings become abundant in our lives. So in the first reading from the Old Testament, we hear the story of Naaman, who was a general in the Syrian government, in the king of Syria, and he was laden with leprosy. Now, Naaman had a servant girl of the Jewish race, and she said to him, Naaman, there is a holy man, there's a prophet in Israel who could heal you. And so he wants to go see Elisha, the prophet. So he makes the journey. And Elisha commands Naaman, as we hear in the first reading, bathe 7 times in the Jordan River. And he took great offense to that. If you've been to weekday mass, I've preached on this before. The Jordan River is like looking at a cup of coffee with a lot of cream in it. So it's very silt-ridden. It's very, it just looks like coffee with cream. And so he objects. He says, why would I wash in such a filthy river? And yet Naaman is reminded by Elisha, plunge yourself into the river Jordan 7 times. He said, there are lots of other rivers where I come from that are cleaner, that are spring-fed, the Farfar, the Damascus. Why should I do this? Why can't you just wave your hand over the wound of my leprosy and I could be healed? But eventually he concedes. He gives in. He obeys Elisha. And by his obedience to the word that God spoke through his prophet, he's cleansed of his leprosy. And that's what we hear in the first reading this morning. And so then he wants to take 2 mule loads of earth from the place where Elisha is to his home place, because he has come to believe that the God that Elisha proclaimed is the only Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. He wanted as a relic in his own pagan country, a place that would remind him of the sanctity of God, and he would kneel on that earth praying to the Lord that he had come to know. In the gospel, which sort of matches the first reading, Jesus meets the 10 lepers that are coming from the countryside. And they yell out to Jesus, Master, have pity on us, heal us. And what's interesting, what Jesus does, is that he says to them, go to the temple and show yourself to the priests. Now, in the Mosaic law, if you had leprosy, if you were in the full-blown throes of leprosy, you were not allowed to go to the temple, you would not approach the priests, you would not be appearing in public, you would stay apart. If you had discovered welts on your body at the beginning of the disease, that's when you would go to the priest, and they would declare, according to Mosaic law, you are with leprosy, you are unclean, you have to be separated. If the disease was healed, then you would go back to the priests, and they would declare you clean, so you could go back to the community. But you would never approach the temple in the full-blown throes of a sickness. But he says to the lepers, go right now and show yourself to the priests. And it's in that obedience of faith, that act of obedience to the word that Jesus speaks to the lepers, that they are healed. And the one who isn't of a Jewish origin, the Samaritan, realizing that he's been cleansed of his leprosy, goes back to Jesus and praises him, recognizes, indeed, Jesus, you are the Lord. You are the true God. And so that's that gift of the obedience of faith, which St. John Newman came to know in his life very deeply, which the Lord calls us to in our own lives. Jesus calls us to obey in faith, to obey the teachings of our faith, of our church, to obey the teachings of the scriptures, of what Jesus has revealed, what God has revealed, to obey what he speaks to us, what he says to us in our prayer and our inspirations, right? And when we obey the Lord, then indeed his blessings flow abundantly in our lives. To obey is a word that may be very irksome to people because it means submission. It sounds like submission. But its root word, obey, means to hear. It comes from the Latin, to hear through, to listen through. In other words, to hear what the word that the master has spoken through the noise of the world. Filter out the noise of the world and listen to the voice of the master. Listen to the word that God has spoken. And that's what the lepers do. That's what Naaman does. He obeys the prophet Elisha. That's what St. John Henry Newman did in his life, which reminds us of the great blessings that not only came to him, but for so many who followed in his footsteps. One of the novels that Henry Newman wrote is called Callista, which is the story of a third century Greek philosopher. And she comes to this understanding that there is one who is speaking to her that is outside of her, and that she feels compelled to obey the voice that she hears deep within her heart. And this part, quote, I'm going to quote a part of the book that is this conversation between Callista and one of the other fellow philosophers that she knows. Callista said, I feel God within my heart. I feel myself in his presence. And he says to me, do this, don't do that. Now you may tell me that this dictate or what I'm feeling or hearing is a mere law of my nature, as if it's similar to being happy or to grieving. But I don't agree with that. I don't understand that. Rather, it's the echo of a person speaking to me. Nothing shall persuade me that it does not ultimately proceed from a person external to me. It carries with it its proof of divine origin. And my nature feels towards it as towards a person. When I obey what God says, I feel happy. When I disobey, a great sadness, just like that which I feel in pleasing or offending a dear and cherished friend. The Callista character in his novel really is an allegory of his own life, of his conversion, that he who heard the voice of Jesus the Master, who reminded him, who called him to make that cross to the Catholic Church, was the one who he could not ignore. He gave that obedience of his faith to him in fullness and was blessed because of it. So we gather for this Eucharist. May we ask the Lord, help us, Lord, to obey you in all things. Help us to give you the submission of our faith, knowing that in doing so, we will bear witness to you and we will experience your blessings in abundance.